Now, if you continue in our studies in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. 1 Corinthians, and we go to chapter 4 tonight. Last week we ended with chapter 3, where Apostle Paul concluded by exhorting the believers to desist from vain human exhortation of pastors and preachers, since the church belongs to God and not to man, so that they should have such a restraint on their discriminations and vain human exhortations. They were exhorting people senselessly, preachers, and trying to again undermine the work of good pastors and preachers among them. We continue this book from chapter 4, as I said, and we look at evaluation of the subject for at least from 1 to 6. We look at the subject evaluation of pastors and preachers. Evaluation of pastors and preachers. And Apostle Paul is still on those at Corinth, believers at Corinth, who had imbibed worldly wisdom into their minds so that they were thinking wrongly as Christians. And as we know this, he said, has led to division, strife, and envy in the church. They were thinking wrongly, because if Christians think wrongly in the church, it really brings problems in the church. Meaning they don't think by scriptural principle. They value things by the human eye and not by the truth of God's word. And this, the following verses here, which we have, we are going to look at, they will instruct them how they must evaluate the ministry of their pastors and preachers. How they should think of their pastors and preachers. And indeed, this is a standard for all Christians, how we measure preachers and pastors on this in their work, and how we should look at it and to see, are they faithful? Are they those who are true? And are they those who are really laboring as those who are supposed to work as God has appointed? So these are the matters we are thinking about this evening. And before I move on, we should also always remember that pastors and preachers are not to be valued merely by their abilities or their gifts, and how people see them, by their usefulness. How faithful are they in their work? Not how, I mean, they're probably able to, I mean, speak or other things, or how they're able to, I mean, do so many things. How they are faithful to the work which is given to them. That's how we value them. But we know that we live in a time that there are so many ideas about the pastoral work and the preaching work and all that. But first of all, let us think, I mean, and to remind us of how we should be if we should think about the work of pastors and preachers scripturally. So I begin with verse 1. Let the man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Here it means that the apostles and preachers, well, he himself is involved, so apostles and preachers that have labored among these Corinthians must be considered as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. They should look at them as such, and that is their work, as ministers of Christ. Sorry, and stewards of the mysteries of God. So the first thing they should think about himself as an apostle and all the other preachers is this. They should think of them as such. They shouldn't think of them beyond or less than anything of this sort. And these two words of Apostle Paul are very instructive. The word ministers and stewards. They are not just mere, I mean, words. They teach us how pastors and preachers work ought to be, the mode and the nature of it, and its usefulness. But when we understand these two words, how it is, the nature of it, and the usefulness, I mean, the kind of, what do you call it, employment these things, this kind of persons do, it helps us to realize how pastors and preachers their work ought to be. So first, let me look at the word ministers. This word, the Greek word that was translated ministers in our reading, means that under oarsmen, or under rowers. I mean, Here it refers to like persons rowing the boats under their captain. I mean, ancient times, using people, ships, and other big ships, whatever. We have people under there rolling it with what, with the paddles and all that. And this time in our modern times, we can think of people going to maybe races. I think when you have witness at the seaside, Cape Coast, and some of when they're having their festivals, I'm sure sometimes they do. I mean, a competition on the sea with their boats, and you see. They have the captain commanding them, and then the rest are, paddling their boat. So those who are following the captain or the leader is the picture here. Ministers, that's the word. That's us under oarsmen. Those who row, under their captain. So under oarsmen, persons rowing a boat under their captain. And this is a picture of a person working under authority. That's the picture for spiritual believer. A servant. Person working under authority, and our Lord Jesus Christ is the master and the head of his church. If the church is true, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head and the master of the church, and the pastors and the preachers are only serving under his command. But that's the picture. They are mere servants. Christ the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the head of his church. He's the captain. He's the captain of our salvation, the Bible tells us. And the church is our saved people. He is the head of the church. So this implies that pastors are not supposed to invent their own modes of worship, missions for the church, but to serve under the orders of Christ. You see, the church has only one mode of life and mission or whatever. You see, the Bible is full of them. The New Testament, we have all the instructions there. So the pastors and preachers in the church ought to not to invent things. You know what I mean? Now the people think, well, they have ideas, good ideas for churches. I mean, they want to start a church, they want to do it their own way to please. But no, the Lord Jesus Christ has his way. The church should be run and the mission for the aim for the church. We only learn it and apply it to our church life. See, so the servants, the pastors, the ministers of Christ, they are under oarsmen. They are serving under his direction. Again, this instructs us that pastors are not to be valued by mere titles, see, but their submission to the commands of Christ for his church. You see, I mean, faithful person, yeah, what does he submit to Christ? Is he, humble to obey what the Bible says about his word? That is how we view him. And that is the ministers. I'm sure we have heard many people, many churches, oh, this is the minister in the church, or he's the minister. This is what is under oarsmen. It's not, I think people think of the world in a kind of honorable way, in a secular manner. It doesn't mean that it's not an honorable way, but they think of the world and how it should be. But no, here is the word that this person is not on his own. He serves, it's an honorable way, but he serves under his master. The second word we have is stewards. And this word also means house manager. So pastors, preachers in the church are house managers. Stewards. And in the secular use of this word, the steward of the house manages the property that are under his care. He manages this for someone who has employed him. So he manages it according to the owner's rules. The house manager, let's say maybe someone who, the caretaker of a house doesn't do his own thing. He doesn't begin to maybe plant grasses where he has not been told to. He doesn't begin to plant coconuts in the house where he has not been told to. He doesn't begin to maybe break a wall and fix in something which he has not. Everything is, whatever he does in the house according to the owner's instruction. But in the owning days, the stewards of houses, probably a whole estate or plantation, and he's in charge. And in that case, he supervises the distribution of supplies, wages, and for all the other workers. He is like a supervisor in that plantation or in that estate. And one thing with the stewardship is that he gives account of his stewardship at any time at the owner's request. Whenever the owner comes, whenever he comes and he demands the status of things, he gives to him. Remember the parable of the unfaithful steward in Luke 16.
when at the point, I mean, his mother said, "Oh, I've heard that you are faithful. Come and give an account." And he was troubled. That's a picture of stewards, and there were stewards are not people who are bold in themselves, but they are bold in their master. They are only bold in the commands that are given to them to execute. They are not bold in themselves. But here we are told of the stewardship of pastors and preachers. The stewardship of pastors and preachers in the church is about the mysteries of God. We have it in our reading, and also let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Here, the stewardship of the pastors and preachers is told us what it is. It is about the mysteries of God. So, this is not that physical, I mean, like that secular sense, but this is about the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God refers to God's truth about Jesus Christ and His church, which was not fully disclosed under the Old Testament, but is now revealed by the gospel. See, sometimes we hear some of these charismatic pastors, they say, "Oh, the mysteries," and as if they are going to hint at them. No, that's not what the Bible is talking about, mysteries. Mysteries about the Lord Jesus Christ and His church, which was not clear in the Old Testament. Let me read to you the meaning. The Bible explains to us what it means. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, we are told about the mysteries of God or mysteries of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you all, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, the mystery about Christ and his church. Not to know in the ages past, they said, so the nation of Israel, they only thought they were the people of God. Though the prophecy tells that in the time of the Messiah, the time of Christ, Gentiles will be brought in. But, they couldn't really figure it out. But in the time of Christ, it was made clear. Right, the Lord God saves and brought in, and the gospel was preached, and then many were saved from, and in our world today, the church of Christ is everywhere. And it's a mystery. And even of Christ himself and his incarnation, it is a mystery. But then it has been, all that the God wants to tell us about the Messiah and his relationship with us have been made known. So it is no more a mystery, that is a mystery of God that has been revealed by the gospel, how Christ and his church. To Christ and his church, the nature of Christ and his church, how it ought to be. So that's the mysteries, you see. So the pastors are supposed to be stewards of this mystery of God. So office of pastors and preachers is to distribute and make known the truth of the gospel, such as the truth of the Godhead, the Trinity, such as the incarnation of Christ, the union of his two natures, the divine and human and in his person, the church union, and also the church union with him, and the church's fellowship with him, and all that the truth about the church of Jesus Christ, for the New Testament age, it is all in this mystery which was revealed. Apostle Paul, in his said that it has been revealed to them, and the apostles. That is why those who charges Apostle Paul, as well as his instruction about who should be pastors. Women ought not to be pastors, and they say, "Oh, Apostle Paul was speaking out of maybe he said for women, whatever." Their fault. The mystery of the church was revealed to them. The instructions are the foundation of the church. You see, he said, "Which in other ages was not made known." Verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. This word of revelation is a revelation about it directly, inspired word to them, unto his apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You see, that's why we also say that people cannot even claim apostle and this prophet. And they have a special task which has been completed. God is not revealing again any mysteries about his church. It is recorded for us to learn. And that is it. So I go back to our passage. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and of the mysteries of God. So here, as I said, the pastors and preachers are to be stewards of this truth of God's mystery that has been revealed. So that the ministry of pastors and preachers of the church is not about titles as people claim as archbishops and prophets, cardinals and prelates and popes. No, it's not about that. It's not about just names or about people, I mean, claiming to be pastors and promoting their own personal visions and ideas for the church. No, that's not. The Lord Jesus Christ has a plan and purpose for his church. He doesn't need anyone to think for him or imagine things for him. He has given us the master, the plan in his word for the church to follow. So that it's not about titles and name and vain ideas of so-called pastors who call themselves visionaries and whatever. Rather, it is about the proclamation of God's grace through Christ for his church. That God through Christ is restoring to all who believe in him the glory of man lost by the fall. This mystery brings to us that the glory. It teaches us how God, by his grace, is restoring to man that glory lost in Adam. That nature of righteousness that God saves. So that in the church of Jesus Christ, it is a body of persons who are restored to God, to the fellowship of God through Christ. And this is a mystery. And it isn't only about the Gentiles, but it's not only about the Jews, but the Gentiles. That's a mystery which the Bible tells us, even the angels and even the prophet, that prophesied about them, didn't know how it was going to happen. You see, but then it has been revealed. But God, it has been done. The Lord Jesus Christ have saved the preaching of the apostles, and then subsequent ages saved many from all over the world to himself. And he has formed his church. This is what pastors, the message of this truth, is what pastors must preach. And must be really make sure they are bringing such truth along. So they are the stewards of this truth. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ is the ground and the pillar of the truth. And the pastors and preachers are the stewards of this truth in the church. Isn't it amazing that nowadays, churches, many churches don't care about what is truth, what is doctrine, what the Bible? No, all that they care about is so-called prophecy and revelation, which has no basis. See, and people chase after that. No, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that the man be found faithful. So here, trustworthiness is a necessity for the work of stewards. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. A steward must be faithful. That's what it looks like. You remember, the unfaithful servant, steward was called to bring God. The master had said that he has heard his unfaithfulness. So that to be good steward, you must be a faithful person. That's what he's saying. So that faithfulness in the work to bring the gospel to the various spiritual needs of the church, that is what is required of the ministers of Christ. You see, of the pastors and preachers of the church. That they must be faithful in preaching and making known this truth to the various spiritual needs. Because they may be unbelievers who must hear the gospel. And the truth of this mission must be explained well to them. There may be believers who are in the church who must hear and know how to continue to walk in relation with God, because this truth of the gospel reveals to us how we should walk with God and how we should live our life as Christians. And it is the duty of the pastors and preachers to apportion the truth of God and to give to everyone accordingly, so that both unbelievers who come to our meetings and believers who are the true church of Christ are edified and are brought into that truth of God. And it is the duty of pastors and preachers. And as I said, the sad thing is that go to many churches, that Christ and his truth is not known. People claim to be Christian, but they don't even know what it is to be a Christian. They don't know Christ and his glory. They don't know him and all that he is for his church. You see? The mysteries and the truth of God must be a portion of right. And also, as I said, the faithfulness requires that not only to preach and to bring the knowledge of this to the mind of people, it requires that the steward himself is faithful. That means he lives by example. So that the pastor or the preacher must be a living example to what he preaches. How, what is faithfulness? If the preacher is not living by the example, living as he preaches, he's not also striving to cry to the Lord to help him to live what he preaches. It's unfaithfulness, you see. Because sometimes many pastors they claim to be nice sermons, but what about the striving to live according to what we preach? It's not about standing there and say, "Oh, for me, I've preached all the word of God." No, it's about my example also. See, and we cry to the Lord that He helps, that we live according to what He has taught us to teach. So that if we should preach and live in contradiction to that, it goes against the qualification of a true pastor. While I tell people to not do this, and then I am chasing after it, it goes against it. In first in Titus we have the description of the pastor and his work. Let's quickly look at that. So sometimes when we don't we still forget that we sometimes even demand things that are not good. Titus chapter 1, 7 to 9. For a bishop must be blameless, yes, as to the office of a pastor or the elder in the church. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. You see here, not sorrowful, not soon angry, not giving to wine, no striker, not giving to filthy lucre, love of money, but a love of hospitality, a love of good men, sober himself, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. See, so that he himself, his life and his teaching must go together. And that is faithfulness. So that I suppose the moreover it is quite the steward that man be found faithful. Here the man here has to be the preacher or the pastor. He must strive to live according to that. Holy life, just sober minded, holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught, because the Bible teaches him that he may be able to be by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince him to. Nowadays people think of sound doctrine but not sound practice. It goes together. Not just that we believe what the Bible teaches, but we live what the Bible teaches. You see, else we will be sincere Christians if we only think of what we know from the Bible, not from knowing it. We live out our life on it. We are sincere. So as we know, we strive to live accordingly, and we cry to the Lord to help us to live in such a way. I ask you, for the example of the pastor, I have also 1 Timothy 4:12. It is 1 Timothy 4:12. Here, Paul speaking to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in conversation, lifestyle, your conduct, in charity, your outgoingness, sympathy, and that work of love. In spirit, in faith, in purity, everything, in attitude, in his deportment. So, and here I speak to myself, and that is the example, and that is how we also look at others if they are faithful to their work. Are they living my example? Are they those who are like us? The Bible teaches us here that. In the word, in lifestyle, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in his thinking, in all his mindset, in purity. See, so that if a pastor is to be, if a leader is a faithful pastor, he must be that. He must live by example, by what he preaches. So that is what the Bible teaches. So what Apostle Paul is teaching us here has to do with that. The faithfulness he's talking about is not merely by just preaching and telling people what they should do. But as a pastor, I must also live by what I preach. I must also come. And because it's an instruction about the Christian life. It's not that the pastor should just tell people what they should do, and he himself doesn't know. That's unfaithfulness. So that it goes for all of us. So I read verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. So he carries on. As Apostle Paul have spoken about how preachers must be evaluated, and now he applies that to himself. You see? Because he has taught them about how they should look at pastors. They must be faithful. And now he speaks about himself. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. His mode of speaking seems to imply, if you read it just like that, it seems to imply that his ministry is not to support, it's not supposed to be evaluated or be assessed by the Corinthians, and this will seem to suggest pride in him. Because if you look at the word, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. As if, Paul is trying to, speak that they cannot test, they cannot examine him if he's right or not. But that's not the sense of the words, you see. Rather, what he says here of himself, there has been a problem in the church at Corinth. People are giving wrong estimation of the ministers, of the pastors and preachers, and even Apostle Paul himself. Some have been trying to speak against his apostolic authority. So he's speaking in connection to such people who have wrong views in the church at Corinth. So he's not speaking that they cannot look at his work and form the judgment of it. But these people, because they were thinking wrongly, had formed wrong ideas about himself, and but through that, some were even, as I said, were disregarding his work as apostle. Some were even trying to even question his apostleship. But then he says, so that when he says that, but with me it is very small thing that I should be judged of you, of man's judgment. What he says is that, his work as an apostle, he was appointed by God and sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that human opinions about his ministry doesn't count. If we want to assess him, it must be according to the knowledge about the work. It must not be your imagination about how apostle, does he qualify to be an apostle? Does the work, show that he's an apostle? No. You cannot. It's a small thing, for because you people are assessing pastor and preacher according to worldly wisdom, not according to what the work and it demands are. So it is to such people. And indeed, it is true. He said, "Yeah, I judge not my own self." He himself doesn't seek to, self-evaluate his own apostleship. It is a work, and the abilities are given to him by the Lord. He didn't appoint himself to be an apostle. That's what he's trying to tell them. So that, he cannot even imagine his mode of ministry. It was communicated to Ephesians, that it was revealed to them. See, the apostles received revelation from God how they must organize churches and establish the church of Jesus Christ. So that by that revelation, if he's working, you cannot imagine about how he should work. You see, they have apostolic authority. And the way it was communicated to them by the Holy Spirit. So that's what the sense of the passage, the verse. But with me, as an apostle, it is very small thing that I should be judged of you, of man's judgment. Yet I judge not my own self. He himself cannot even imagine. And trying to self-evaluate himself, I have done well or not. He will add on the next verse, and it will be clear to us. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. So he gives a reason why human estimation or justification will not matter in the appraisal of his apostolic work. He's speaking as an apostle. He has received instruction from Christ by revelation. And that all that he teaches, all his manners in his ministry, is not his imagination. That's what he's saying. So that your personal opinion about my ministry as apostle doesn't count. And here he says, for I know nothing by myself. That is, he himself, per his own conscience, he doesn't know of any blame on his work as an apostle.
And yet, even that, he said that, yet, am I not hereby justified? Even if, though he's not conscious of any blame on his word, yet, he himself will not applaud himself. That's what he's trying to tell them. He will tell us, as I'm going on myself, but he that judges me is the Lord. He alone is able to approve or disapprove this work that I do as an apostle. That's what he's trying to tell them. So only by he that judges me is the Lord. Here, it's not just saying that you cannot judge me, you cannot assess me if I am being wrong or I'm being right, but it is in relation to his work as an apostle and his the word given to them and him in particular to set up the Church of Jesus Christ and to lay down the foundation. That's why also he said that he referred in that as a master verse 3, chapter 3, as a wise master builder have laid down the foundation. See, it was apostolic authority to speak that. Nobody can claim that which if God has not given such authority. So that I know nothing by myself, that he himself in his work as apostle, he doesn't try to imagine things and to do them for himself. And to, after all, self-evaluate and applaud himself. I've done well. No, only God. He's the one who can judge me right. He can see through if I've done things right or not. So that you who are having worldly wisdom to judge my ministry as an apostle, God has not given you that, how the work of apostles should be. That's what he's trying to tell them. So you cannot, out of mere malice to the, because at Corinth, people have, false people have come there and are trying to even, challenge the apostleship. You see? And so he has to try to tell them, no, they cannot evaluate his work. So, as I said, he speaks this way to rebuke those in Corinth who were undermining the ministry of true preachers as himself as an apostle and who has also labored faithfully among them. And as we know, he was the one who preached the gospel at Corinth. He has to struggle and labor over 3 years to preach the gospel that the church was started there. And after he was left, there was confusion behind it. There was all manner of ideas coming into the church. So that's why I'll be talking about worldly wisdom and God. God hasn't used that. And the gospel which they preach is the wisdom of God, that which, they have to hold on to. So that when people, try to face their judgment of the personality, just for them to assess the preacher, we are now applying it to ourselves, or pastors. And they look upon their personality and their personal gifts and abilities, but not their faithfulness to Christ. This is where the problem is. This kind of assessment is carnal. To look at a pastor, a preacher, and just maybe probably how you think he should labor, not accordingly that he's faithful to the instruction of Scripture, but yet how you think that he should work, and you assess him, and maybe you don't like his person. Because maybe he speaks in a certain way, or maybe he's not. I remember there was a my regular Baptist church. The pastor that I know, he was anointed. I heard a story one time that a member of the congregation bought him a grammar book to improve his grammar. See, later he left the church too. You see, the fact is that is he not preaching? He's not preaching to the understanding of the people. Is it just because you wanted to hear nice words? See, this is an example I'm giving. So, in that way, the person assessing him is not doing well. That's not a fact. That's the application you can draw from this. We don't assess pastors and preachers based on human, how we feel about them and all that. We don't, in the church of Jesus, there's not like feelings. It's about things, the principles of Scripture. And you know, because of this carnal assessment by this, some of this part at Corinth, this is why there have been divisions. So people, because they assess wrongly, they make different people to have different, position in the church. And yet, all of them, as Apostle Paul said, but they are servants and stewards. If they had looked at them in this way, they wouldn't have given all. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, and how Apostle Paul speaks. I mean, I'm God. It means that there were many people that they have
align themselves to beyond Apostle Paul, Apollos, and Cephas. You see? So you see that how what Apostle Paul is saying is it often happens in churches. As I give the example that fleshly minded people, person in the church, sometimes will make out of just a dislike for a pastor or some officer in the church without any evidence of misconduct, but they dislike him due to their own personal preferences. Maybe he should wear a kind of dress, maybe he wants whatever, or he should maybe act in a certain way which means suit them, and they are not doing that. That is scandal, you see. That is scandal. The abilities and the talent of preachers doesn't show their faithfulness. You see, people may have greater or lesser gift, doesn't matter. They can be faithful to the Lord and useful to Him. You see, so we don't evaluate pastors and preachers and officers in the church merely because of something we like, which things have to be happening that we know. We evaluate them according to the rules of Scripture. How are they supposed to work? Are they faithful servants? Are they faithful stewards of the mysteries of Christ? Are they faithful servants living by example and really submitting their life to Christ and ever growing in that? Let's also remember that in the Church of Jesus Christ, Christians are valued based on our relationship with Christ and not by any earthly attainment or position. So that a preacher is not to be valued or respected because probably he has in the secular like that, high attainment, no, or less attainment, no. Let's remember, most of the apostles were not even well educated, but faithfulness. See, some were like Apostle Paul, he was well educated. Some were not, but then it was their usefulness. And so it doesn't matter our position in the world. If the Lord will use us, it depends. If the Lord will use us, our usefulness comes in. We're able to see our usefulness because of our submission to Him, not because we're able to do so much, but not according to His will. Human opinions don't matter when it comes to Christ and His church. So our respect, even believers, is not according to their. Yes, we respect everybody. If people have authority, then we respect them. But when it comes to spiritual things, the respect according to how obedient people are to Christ. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. So here he charges them to desist from their harsh and false judgment. They were being hasty. They didn't think too much as well. They were harsh in their judgment. So he tells them that they should rather wait until the time of the Lord's return to bring judgment on the deeds of all people, as well as on pastors and preachers who labored in His name. Because you are giving wrong assessment. So wait. If you are not willing to abide by how the work, Apostle Paul has done his work as a model whereby others must be assessed with, because he has the revelation to set up the church. If you are not willing to follow his example, because he said, as I follow Christ, then wait. Wait of whatever you are saying. And let the Lord himself, the Lord return. When he comes, then he will bring judgment on the deeds of men. And pastors and preachers, their labels will be assessed. The who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. So that at the day of judgment, all hidden motives and hypocritical ambitions of pastors and preachers will be uncovered, as the Lord knows all things. So you see, He is able to we may approve some people. If we don't use scriptural principle, we may be wrong. But the Lord is able to bring right judgment on that way. And but He knows all things. He knows all things. And will make manifest the counsels of the heart. He knows the heart. He knows the motive behind the actions of men. And then every man have praise of God. If the ministry of the pastor or the preacher is approved by him, you see, then that person will have a praise of God.
and the person whose ministry will not be approved have a shame. See? So this also instructs us that we should be careful as we pass, I mean, harsh judgment on people's lives. So our believers, we should be careful if we don't know the motive behind, if we cannot prove from scripture of any misconduct, we should be careful. Because if we run people down, the Bible says, every idle word of men shall be judged. Whatever we claim or say about others, even not about preachers, are we sure? Are we sure that it's true about them? Are we sure that the true matter, that we are clear about the truth about them? See, we should not just say things because we feel we want to say about others. Christians don't live that way. And he says, and then every man shall have praise of God. Every preacher who is approved will have that praise from God's own glory and honor. And indeed, this must be so, since it is He who enables and sends true preachers to the preaching of the gospel. Whereas people may give assessment of people, pastors and their work, but at the day of judgment, the true assessment will be done. At the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus who was a faithful servant or unfaithful servant, you see, so that assessment we have on others, it must only be according to the principle given. If we go beyond that, we do wrong. But then, if we don't understand it, let's wait. At the day of judgment, the Lord Himself will bring to light. It doesn't mean that if pastors are misbehaving, we are not supposed to be calling to order. That's not what Apostle Paul is talking about here. He's talking about people who are assessing the ministry with worldly mindset. You see? They are not applying the Bible principles about the ministry. They say that they should, as he said, verse 1, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministry, of the mysteries of God. So this is the way we have to look at the pastors and preachers. Are they true servants according to their duty? Are they true stewards according to their duty given? Verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that he might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no man of you be puffed up for one against another. So here, he says that in his youth, because he has been using him, Apollos and his wife, he has been mentioning them in all these passages, so that they are using their ministry as an example for them, as how pastors and preachers should, because also he said that Apollos watered. Has having to do with, the first preacher of the gospel and the one who edifies and all that. So he said that he has used this thing as a way of a type. He has said, not that they were not part of the preachers, but he has singled out their ministry as what? Example for them, so that his purpose is that he wants to teach them how they must assess preachers. Also, as he says, planters and what? Waters. He plants and Apollos waters. And here he tells their servants and stewards. And this is what he wants to tell them. He wants to let them know that as he mentioned their name, meaning that there were others whom they have set up as their party heads beyond Apostle Paul, Cephas and Apollos. There were many there, but he singled out, yes, to let them know, how the true preachers ought to be. So that when they think of how he himself labored and how Apollos also labored, but they were true servants of Christ. Apostle Paul was not opposed. When he talked of Apollos and Apostle Paul himself, he was not opposing Apollos. Apollos was a faithful servant. He himself was a faithful servant. And look at us. Look at how we labored among you. That's what he's saying. And then assess. So I've used our ministry as example. So that you don't, he said that you might not learn, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. So that when others come in and try to tell you or try to labor as if they have a different way for the ministry, then you will know that they are false. Then you know that they are not true servants. They're bringing worldly ideas and all manner of nonsense to the church. You should know they are not. Because I and Apollos served under Christ. We were servants and stewards. The Lord. And that is how you look at preachers and pastors who come among you. So that from our example, as it says, that
You don't go ahead. You look at example not to set pointless values upon your preachers by their gifts and abilities which you think they have, then Paul's scriptures teaches about the pastors and preachers. So that above what is written, that he might learn in us, you see, as our ministry, how it is done, so that not to think of men above that which is written. So that when others come and try to show off and do all manner of things, you should know that if they are true, they will have to act according to what is written. Ministers, servants, planters and washers, laborers in the house of God. And that is how, if they are to be faithful, they are only servants and stewards of Christ in his church. That no one of you be puffed up one against another due to wrong impressions about any preacher. Because if you do not evaluate preachers by this, you try to single out and try to give wrong evaluation for pastors and preachers that comes to you. So that if only you evaluate them this way, there will only be any divisions envies and strife. Well, as if some pastors and because they have this gift, they are so powerful. And now I'm sure you know how people think of our pastors. Is he powerful? Does he see things and all that? That's nonsense. Apostle Paul says the pastor preacher doesn't need to tell visions to people. He's just what? Servant, minister of Christ, is just stewards of the mystery of Christ, not stewards of people's personal lives, where he climbed to. I mean, he's like a juju man in the church. You know, pastors, so many pastors in those churches are like juju men in the church. They tell people they are necromancers and witches in the church. You see, no, a pastor or preacher is a minister of Christ, the stewards of the mysteries of God. So when we see them, we see who are true preachers, who are true pastors of God, you see, and not these big names we see around and claiming, they have authority from God, and yet they are not serving under Christ. They are not, under horsemen. But pastors are under horsemen, you see. May the Lord help us. And also, it also tells us that whatever we see in any pastor or preacher, we should not be so amazed by the gift of others. Even true preachers, we should not be amazed by the gift of and the talent of others, so that we undermine others. We should only look at, is he faithful? Is he having a large church or a small church? But is he faithful? It's not about the gift and able to maybe draw many members, many people per se. Not the charisma of the person, no. We may draw many members, but it's Christ who has to save them. Are we sure that all who claim Billy Graham evangelism and all those kind of things, the crowds and they say they have drawn, is it sure that all those who claim to be saved, is it true? Only God knows. You see, if they are faithful, only God knows. You see, whether their levels are small or big, only God knows. But the matter is what? Faithfulness. Servant and stewards. And that's how we value pastors and preachers. May the Lord help us to think about these things. Shall we then?